VIC Fellowship, and VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to, commercial-free, and truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? We're on every Monday, at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on prn.fm or later on our vacinfo.org website. We are on again, vacinfo.org. Joy Gardner from the controlgroup.org is no longer considered a guest and is included in our ministry. We will be sharing our divine wisdom to put an end to the poisoning of our bloodstream. Are you on, Joy?
Yes, I am. I wanted to ask, how's the sound?
Sounds good to me. How's it sound for you?
And I think I'm just going to go with the sound that's on the laptop. Okay.
Wow. Sounds very good.
Okay.
So share with the audience the wisdom that you've learned the last couple of weeks that we haven't been doing live shows.
Okay. Let's see. We are doing the control group survey. Maybe I should do a recap on that for anyone that's not heard about this before. The control group is, in fact, what's left of our entirely unvaccinated population in the United States of America. And we're studying their health right now through voluntary surveys. They can be done anonymously, by the way. If you go to thecontrolgroup.org, you can see the survey there. You can download it. We do need hard copies mailed to us because we're doing this in preparation for a lawsuit. So we want it to be 100% everything's admissible. It will still be admissible if you decide to do it anonymously. Where'd you go there, April?
I'm here. Sorry.
The reason that we're doing this is because we need to stop the vaccine mandates, and we need an actual number. When you see what the vaccine makers put on their inserts, it just says a zillion different horrible things could happen to you, but it's rare. Well, what if each and every one of those things put together is over 54% chance you're going to have one or more of these things? Well, we need to know this. And the basic scientific method tells us that the only way to know for certain what the risk factor is, or to even approximate an actual risk factor, is to do a comparison of entirely untreated controls and the health of people that have been treated. Now, in this instance, according to the CDC, over 99% of Americans have received vaccines. Most of those are actually fully vaccinated, but at least partially vaccinated. So that's 99%, over 99% of Americans that have received at least some vaccines. So that means we can just look at the national disease average rates, and I think that's a pretty good picture of how sick vaccinated people are. Now, when you look at the entirely unvaccinated, it's a staggering difference. We've now got so many surveys in that we have exceeded the CDC's own standards for a 95% reliability rate for a survey by a whopping 3,600%. Of course, according to their sampling rate standards, we would have only needed about 30 or less surveys to match their scientific standards. Mm-hmm. And when I say the CDC's own scientific standards, those also apply to the FDA and the World Health Organization, and they use those numbers to inform and set public health policy. But the only numbers they don't want to collect, the numbers they specifically avoid looking at, are the numbers related to the health of entirely unvaccinated people, and here's why. When you actually take a minute to look at those numbers, and it really doesn't take that long to start putting this together, what you see is that the risk of any of these diseases, cancers, diabetes, arthritis, all of these things that really can be traced back to a dysfunctional immune system, including brain damage and all these other problems people are having now, what you find is that entirely unvaccinated people run under a 1% risk of contracting or suffering any of these diseases. But for some reason, our 99% vaccinated population in the United States, at least in the children, it's over 54%. It's considerably higher for adults of any one of these diseases. And of course, you know, cancer is now the leading cause of death by disease in children under the age of 15 here in the United States, whereas just a few decades ago, it was almost unheard of to see cancer in a child. So that's a big switch. And it appears so far in our study that it is exclusively vaccinated children that are coming down with cancer, entirely unvaccinated. So according to the CDC, they did a sampling rate of 0.0044% of the United States population in order to try and figure out how many entirely unvaccinated people there were in the United States. So their sampling rate was, you know, for 340 million people, they surveyed by phone call about 15,000 people. And they decided that they would publish as fact that there are less than 1%, 0.9% of Americans left that have never been vaccinated. But what that equals is 3 million people, approximately. And so what that tells you is, okay, so let's get a good sampling rate of those 3 million people.
Yeah.
And we've already collected enough surveys to have exceeded the standards that CDC goes by, by 3,600%. So our sampling rate of those 3 million entirely unvaccinated that the CDC tells us exist in the United States is extremely high. I was running the numbers back and forth on margin of error, because this is how it's the sampling rate that'll determine your margin of error and your reliability factor. So we basically got a 99% plus reliability factor and less than 2% margin of error. So even if the percentage of sick, entirely unvaccinated sick, you know, people that have illnesses was 2% higher or even 5% higher, it's still dramatically different than the national averages.
Absolutely.
More statistically significant. So I'm very confident that there's not a way to disprove this survey. We've got the hard copies. We've got postmarked envelopes that they came in from all over the country and even all over the world now. So now we're able to categorize by country and state, plus add in all the totals.
Wow.
So that if this is consistent across the board, like for every state, here's the state disease rates for vaccinated, you know, and then it the unvaccinated, and it matches with what we're saying, say, in another country. Now, in other countries, I do expect to see totals for those categories that are a bit different than the United States, because most other countries don't have a 72-shot schedule for their children. Most of them, it's somewhere around a dozen. Some countries, it's only 3 shots. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a different disease rate in those children than you see in the United States, or a different variance between the health of unvaccinated and vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
In those countries. But I mean, it's an interesting thing to look at, and it's imperative to collect this data while we still can.
Right.
Things are getting really bad right now, and every time I think it couldn't get any worse, it does.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw what happened in New York, and there's a lot been happening in New York, but the most recent thing is that sent out letters to the parents of unvaccinated children that were in school. The schools sent these letters out. So if your child was enrolled in one of those schools in the previous year, even if you didn't plan to enroll them again this year, you get one of these letters.
Hmm.
And what the letters say is, And this is why Bobby flew out there to try and get an emergency order, which he wasn't able to get. It says, you must immediately send us proof of vaccination, complete up-to-date vaccination for your child, or else you will be reported to CPS and law enforcement for medical neglect.
Wow. That's so great. Yeah,
it's stunning is what it is. So Bobby flew out there. I took a look at his brief. I haven't studied it carefully, but I got the gist of what his arguments are. And they go right to religious arguments. And they're valid morally. The religious argument is valid morally. But we have to face up to the reality that it's not a legal argument that can work in this current climate. Because then all it does is feed more into the, oh, you're anti-science. Well, sorry, science trumps religion. So our approach when the control group goes into court this fall, our approach is going to be 100% science and exposing the fact that Big Pharma has not been engaged in science where vaccine safety is concerned. That's the allegation we're going to make, and we're going to prove it up. And, you know, our big thing is, look, whatever the risk is, it cannot be defined with a slogan like rare or safe. We need an actual number. And they've never done a study that could produce any approximation. If some, you know, you're sitting there, well, there is a risk you could die. There's a risk you could get brain cancer. There is, it's rare and it's small. Well, my first question is, how rare? Well, we just know that it's very rare. No. I need a number, folks. And so when the truth is exposed before a jury that they don't have a number, because the only possible way you could arrive at an approximate, accurate number is to gather health data on controls entirely unvaccinated to compare against. So that's not being done. They say it's unethical to use basic scientific method to study vaccine safety. They say that the basic scientific method has now been demonized as unethical. So, you know, those arguments work great in pharma circles, I guess. But I just don't think they're going to fly in front of a jury that's looking at the evidence.
That's amazing. And are you telling people, are you asking people on the survey if they literally stared at their child when they had birth at a hospital? Because I teach people in my presentation, the nurses, because of how misinformed they are, as fast as they put a thermometer under their arm at the hospital, they needle in the arm, even if you choose not to vaccinate. So yes. I tell people, don't take your eyes off your child if you choose to have a hospital birth.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I'm thinking that one of two possibilities here. One, I could just take those few people that are reporting problems with their kids, health problems with their kids. It's so tiny in the unvaccinated that it almost doesn't matter in the overall picture here. But one thing that, I'm glad you brought that back, because one thing that could be helpful here is to actually contact those that have identified themselves and given contact information, which actually the vast majority of people in this survey have done. They've said, yeah, get a hold of me, you know, this is my name. I don't care, I want to testify, you know.
Good.
But for those that have injured children that and they believe that they were never vaccinated, it might be an interesting thing to contact them and see which ones might be willing to go collect their medical records to see whether or not it's in there. But the problem is, you know, medical records disappear.
I know.
Particularly when children get injured.
Yeah. Well, I think definitely not only the the hepatitis B vaccination they give within 3 hours, but also the vitamin K is loaded with aluminums that can cause neurological issues. So, you know, if, unless they home birth, like I did with my last one, and they know without question they weren't given a vitamin K or a vaccine, can they truly say unvaccinated? But like you said, the number is so low anyway, it's not really worth it, because even if they receive one vaccine or one dose of aluminum, of vitamin K, my son, for instance, is a healthy, healthy little boy, and he got the vitamin K shot, you know?
They snuck the K shot in on her. Her first few months of life were horrific. Her digestive problems were so bad. And there may have been other problems. She couldn't talk, so we don't know what else was hurting. But as soon as we corrected her gut bacteria, everything turned around.
That's right.
She's been the picture of health ever since.
That's directly connected to the brain. Hello.
Yeah. We'll never know how different she might have been had she not had that shot.
Yeah.
But one thing I am learning, because I do ask that in the survey. And then I ask, you know, whether or not, I mean, I give them the option of saying, I don't know if they got the K shot. So there's, you know, I just gave them yes, no, or I don't know. But yeah. It's a question in there. And wherever they're saying yes, I'm paying attention. Like, oh. And 99% of those, roughly, from what I'm looking at right now, I mean, this has not all been data entered yet. But so far, of those, what I'm seeing is that even with the K shot, the vast majority of these children are totally healthy so long as they don't get vaccinated.
Right.
You know, it's
the accumulation of toxins. Yep.
Well, and this has really brought another thing into focus for me, Renee, because we have so many assaults that we are terrified of, especially for our children's health. We're like, well, not too much sugar, and they're coming, you know, radio waves and cell towers and glyphosates and all of this potential
chemtrails
and preservatives in their food, and maybe malnutrition, maybe we didn't get enough good nutrition in them, and maybe they're spending too much time watching TV, and we're thinking all these things could be contributing to these problems that nationwide our children are suffering. And what I'm finding from looking at this is that for the most part, if you don't vaccinate your child, it's almost guaranteed they're going to waltz through all the glyphosate in the streets and on the sidewalks and eat all the sugar in the world and get all the cell phone exposure in the world and somehow magically not be sick.
That's my children. I know. My children, my two children I didn't vaccinate, but go ahead.
So it's basically makes the, not, you know, avoiding the filthy practice of injecting myriad diseases and fetal parts and whatever else, you know, that avoiding that nasty habit of injecting these things directly into our bloodstream like junkies. We're junkies that are terrified of the measles or whatever. So this makes us feel safer, you know, inject, inject, inject. Mm-hmm. And so as long as people avoid that nasty practice, they can reduce their risk of cancer, diabetes, all these horrible things.
That's right.
But, you know, from 54% or higher, down to less than 1%.
That's right. What our ministry teaches very clearly, it's really simple, that every label the drug companies come up with, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, all the labels they come up with.
Yeah.
Labels, 40,000 different labels that are all the same disease, one disease repackaged 40,000 different ways. And that one disease is cellular malfunction. The body's made up of trillions of cells, and when they malfunction, we malfunction. And every cellular malfunction is due to two causes, compounding toxicities and compounding insufficiencies. And the number one poison to the bloodstream, the vaccines are the underlying. Right. The vaccines, and that's why unvaccinated don't have these labels, because the number one compromising of the bloodstream, you know, bypassing our creator's defenses of fever, vomiting, diarrhea, the number one toxin to the cells is straight to the bloodstream, all the heavy metals and all the monkey viruses and everything in the vaccinations. And then what you eat, breathe, and drink on top of it, compounding toxicities and compounding insufficiencies.
That's 72 shots.
Exactly. And that's why our
number's up. Like, you don't know when your kid's number is up.
Exactly. How
many before they're just in overload and they're going to collapse. But even if you don't reach that dramatic point of overload, they've been injected with glyphosates and are probably going to end up with cancer at some point in their life. And you don't know how far down the road that's going to be. It might be while they're still a kid. They might only be 10 years old when all of a sudden they come up with cancer.
Exactly.
And, of course, you know, the CDC is running all these social studies to get to the bottom of disease. So now they're saying income equality, which they say leads to child abuse, traumatizes the children, and that's what's causing things like childhood arthritis.
I know. Anything but the vaccines.
Anything but the vaccines. I just saw that study this very morning, and it was just disgusting.
Oh, this has been going on for 30 years. It's been going on for 30 years.
Even intelligent people are quoting it to me.
I know.
And saying, well, you know, this means I had a bad mommy and daddy. You know what this is? This is a way to say that we need CPS to control the children because they're identifying every parent in the country now as being a child abuser, obviously, because their kid has cancer. And cancer, they say, is caused by trauma. I mean, that's literally what they're putting together right now.
Exactly.
Here in California, the state medical licensing board just started sending out notices to patients of doctors that they are pursuing who they found out were giving out medical exemptions, which, of course, we know those are going to be worthless as soon as this next law passes.
Absolutely.
But they used that as nothing more. The whole concept of getting a medical exemption was nothing more than an opportunity to make a list of unvaccinated kids.
That's right.
And so now they are trying to get their hands on those lists.
Wow.
And the doctors, for the most part, as far as I can tell, here in California, that have been giving out medical exemptions have been resisting. They're saying, well, you don't have a right. The medical licensing board doesn't have the right to see these private health records. And then, one of them ended up in jail, another one being sued, and one of them suing, and all of them are like sort of taking different positions, but there's really only a handful of them in California that were even willing to sign any medical exemptions, no matter how severe and obvious the need for an exemption was. So now.
Suicide, yeah.
Yeah, so now this has just hit Facebook. Someone posted a copy of a letter she got from the California State Medical Licensing Board threatening her as a private citizen and parent that she must immediately sign over authorization for them to directly access her medical records.
Wow.
Because her child's doctor is one of the ones they're after.
Awesome.
And what was really irritating to me is how they threaten, and if you don't do this, but you have this deadline, you better do this. You better sign over authority.
Fear, fear.
And if you don't do it by this deadline, we're going to subpoena you.
That's right.
And it's like, okay, first off, you need to have an open case in a court of law before you can go in and ask for a subpoena to serve on someone. And they don't have that.
Mm.
Or if they do in this instance, they're not listing it.
Mm.
So they're demanding private patient medical records directly from the patients in order to... Anyway, so it's what was really sad, though, is this got posted up on Facebook on one of the anti-vax feeds. And one of the main commenters that made a big deal about it said, oh, my God, she's going to be held in contempt. She only has 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. The California State Medical Licensing Board has authority and jurisdiction over licensing for doctors, and that's it. There's no – this isn't a court order, but they're so deceptive and so threatening. It's very much like CPS when they knock on your door and they say, let me in. Because why? Because I need to come in. Okay, but that's not a search warrant.
Right.
And they'll say, well, I'll go get one if you don't let me in. Okay, well, I can't see I've got anything to lose if I wait till you get one. Because, and then the other side of that is simply this. The only possible means of getting any kind of court order against you or your children from CPS is after you let them in and talk to them and let them collect evidence. Mm-hmm. Because if you just keep the door shut and you go, yeah, well, oh, the kids are fine, don't worry about it. Oh, you want to talk to them? Well, who are you? Oh, yeah, CPS. Well, I'm sorry, I don't care who you work for. I don't know you as a person, so I don't really have any reason to trust you. But hey, leave me your card. I'll leave it with my lawyer and we'll figure something out. I'll call you later maybe, you know, if it seems right. And they stand there and threaten, if you don't let me in right now, I will go get a search warrant and I will get a warrant to remove your children if you don't voluntarily let me in. If they had grounds or evidence sufficient to get a court order for either a search warrant or a removal, they would have already gotten it. And they would be at your door with that order.
Wow.
They are there at your door asking you to let them in. Why? Because they don't have the evidence they need to get a court order. And they're trying to get that evidence. And their only way of getting it is if you're stupid enough to talk to them or let them in. Because if you talk to them, you could even just say, you know what, I'll step outside and talk to you for a minute. If you do that and you're not recording it, and even sometimes people that are, they now can testify direct personal knowledge to something you said to them. And that's all they need to get a warrant or a removal.
That is crazy. So for anybody listening to this show, we need to make it very clear to everybody that they have the right. They have the right to say, where is your search warrant, correct?
Absolutely.
And if they don't show you one, you have the right. We have the right to say, go get a search warrant before I let you in my house.
What's really interesting is police officers are often accompanying these CPS workers now. And that tends to scare people when they see cops at their door.
They shouldn't be afraid. Yeah.
But what's really interesting is, for the most part, if you insist to police officers, okay, look, you don't have any exigent circumstance. There's obviously not an emergency here. And you might let the police officers look back through your door and see that your kids are fine. Not the CPS worker, though. Just out of consideration and to get them on your side, in case they are sincerely concerned. Then you let them see, you know, you let a cop see, peek through. Yeah, the kids are fine. There's no emergency. What are you talking about? Oh, that's, what's the allegation? How old is the allegation? Because if the allegation wasn't just now made, there's no exigent circumstance. There's no emergency requiring entry without a warrant. Mm. So all of these questions need to be asked, just so that you don't have a cop out there thinking that you're being so evasive that maybe there is an emergency. Because, you know, even if they do it illegally, the last thing you want is someone kicking your door in. So you try to look, what is this? Sort it out. Ask them a ton of questions. And the reason I'm talking, you know, here we are with the control group. We've got to get rid of the vaccine mandates. The reason I'm talking about this is that they are poised right now to confiscate in New York and in California and a couple of other states as well. Out of pocket, confiscate. They have now empowered CPS to confiscate every unvaccinated child in these states that have passed these mandates. That's a side effect of these mandates. It is now considered medical neglect, felony medical neglect, to not vaccinate your children in many states. And people will have their, and even if the police or law enforcement refuse to press charges, it doesn't matter. CPS is now empowered. See, Judge, here's the law. they're neglecting their kid. We took them. And even if you are one of the lucky few that gets your kid back, they will come back vaccinated and damaged. If you're lucky enough to get them back and they're not, you know, end up sex trafficked, disappeared. They have, you know, I was shocked. I found out their listing of causes for kids that disappear in CPS care. You'd say, well, runaway. Actually, that sounds kind of plausible. Teenagers would run away. It's a bunch of 2 and 3 year olds that they say disappeared and they are listed as runaways. So that's in their percentages of disappeared kids as runaways. They packed a bunch of little infants and toddlers in there. No, those aren't runaways, surely. But more importantly, they didn't just disappear. They were sold.
That's right. Child trafficking.
They were sold for their organs, for sex toys, whatever.
Yep.
Because that is a huge, I mean, CPS is a private for-profit corporation, and their parent company is DynCorp. Mm. Anyone who needs to know a little more about DynCorp, please go look it up. Even with all the censorship, you will be able to find out the fact that DynCorp has been busted for child sex trafficking numerous times. Mm. So here they own the kidnapper organizations. Mm. Where do you think these kids are going?
It's crazy. I know. It's insane. Child trafficking's a whole other mess going on. Not only are they poisoning their bloodstream, but also, yes, the child trafficking is unbelievable.
Well, it's a really, really scary situation right now. And I'm seriously thinking that once we get some kind of protection from the vaccines, that'll probably end up being my next pet project.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The laws granting CPS these powers must be undone.
Absolutely.
The only lawsuits you see are, okay, I'm an individual. Luckily, I'm able to prove that they wrongly took my children and falsified evidence or whatever. So they sue for money. But there's not really anybody out there just suing for protection from CPS in the first instance. And so that's the same approach we're taking with the vaccines. We're asking for money. We're not waiting for the damage. Even if we wanted money for damage, our case would get dismissed. So they've left us no choice but to sue in this fashion where, look, we're not asking for liability or money. And the other side of that, too, is if you're not asking for liability, it's not a criminal case where someone's going to go to jail. Your standard of evidence is over here, preponderance.
Wow.
If you're trying to get liability, it's a whole nother standard of proof.
Wow.
Then you have to have all your scientists document the exact cause of which chemical, you know, and which shot. And there's so many, you know, and
also which animal, which monkey did they use to make that particular vaccine? How sick was that particular monkey? I had a little girl.
So that's a really
months. I know. Yeah. She received one vaccine.
That's a really tall order, trying to prove that.
It
shouldn't be so difficult, but it ends up being difficult because for every scientist the litigant produces, Big Pharma will send 5,000 to refute it.
Yeah.
But in this instance, it's not a battle of that version of science. Mm. It's simply, what's the risk factor? Here are the numbers. You know, of course, we are going to bring some professional witnesses in, though. Well, they're not professional witnesses. They're fact witnesses. We just got confirmation that we can have access to a guy who's actually done autopsies on the aluminum content in autistic children's brains.
Wow.
And you know what's interesting? As powerful as that part of his test. Oh, and he's a 35-year veteran of toxicology.
Wow.
Renowned. He's published hundreds of articles and studies, and he's going to be hard for them to face. But as important as valuable as that part of his testimony would be, the part I'm most anxious to get him on the record with is the dosage. He's a toxicologist, okay?
Yep.
So their defense is always, well, dose. It's only a little. no more than a can of tuna. Well, this guy is a renowned toxicologist, and he says that the dose is increased by 10,000 times when you inject it. So whatever that FDA safe limit is for aluminum consumption or mercury or formaldehyde or all these things, or even glyphosate, which I don't know whether or not they actually have a safe amount yet for that. I think they're still denying it causes cancer. But regardless, when a jury understands from a renowned toxicologist that injecting it increases the dosage by 10,000 times.
That's huge.
They don't get to play with their stupid little dosage argument anymore.
That's right.
They'll try to beat up on him, but the jury's going to hear it. It's going to get in.
That's right. I even teach in my presentation also heavy metals, mercury, formaldehyde. Those are heavy metals. If the nurse doesn't success that vial real good before she takes that needle out and injects it into a baby, the heavy metals settle. My friend actually
hit the bottom of the...
Right. They're down. If they don't do this really good, my friend actually had that happen.
And they're taking they're drawing off of the bottom of the bottle.
The bottom of the bottle. That's exactly what my friend's son got. And as he was
been injected, on a multi-dose bottle, it had enough mercury for 20 shots, right?
So many variables. It's so many variables. It's unbelievable of what babies have to go through. And that's why I'm so happy that we're together. I'm so happy that you have the wisdom that you have, because I don't have that wisdom. And I don't think anybody out there does. We've been waiting for you.
You have a lot more specialized wisdom and knowledge, data.
None of us can do it without each other, baby.
That are so hugely valuable. And I am late to this fight. I'm not late to some of the research. I've been knowing about a lot of these things.
You came at perfect timing.
And God forgive me, selfishly, I didn't do anything because I was keeping my own grandkids safe. And now they're not going to let me do that anymore. They're not going to let anybody keep themselves safe or their children. They are coming for every single man, woman, and child, because those 3 million people that aren't vaccinated are really scaring the piss out of them right now.
Right.
They're horrified at the prospect of the health of these people being documented in any way and then brought into court against them, because it's irrefutable.
That's right. That's right. That's how we get your information into the courts as soon as we can. But like you said, you know the right timing, and Father knows the right timing. But this is the answer for sure. I mean, this is the answer. What you're doing is for sure.
The only logical approach that I could locate is a declaratory relief action where we ask for some immediate orders that are obviously able to be justified. Because when you first start a lawsuit in a declaratory relief action, the goal is to prevent damage of some kind. So that's why a declaratory relief action takes calendar precedence over all other actions. That's a requirement under the law. That's what's written into the act.
Wow.
So when a judge gets a declaratory relief action on his desk, he can't put it off for a couple of years because he's busy. Other things have to wait. This has to come first.
Wow.
So that's one nice advantage. Now, when you go into court under the declaratory relief action, you're going into court under the idea that we need a declaration of our rights and responsibilities and what rights others that we're dealing with have against us. We want it clarified. And we want a court order delineating what's really supposed to happen. And in the meantime, if we're urgently trying to prevent damage from occurring, these are some immediate orders we need to maintain the status quo until the rest of this can be heard. So what we mean by maintain the status quo is leave these entirely unvaccinated people alone. Leave them alone. They need to be studied. So here's what our numbers are showing their health is like. And hey, if someone's going to oppose this, we should preserve these people so they can go study them too.
That's right.
They're going to to prove us wrong, right?
Right, that's right.
How can they prove us wrong if you know, so we need to maintain the status quo during the course of the rest of the action.
So question, what about like my children who aren't children any longer, 18 and 22, what can they do to an adult like that that have not been vaccinated? How can they?
Well, I know that in New York they were fining Jewish people specifically. They figured out where the highest concentrations of Jews were in Brooklyn and identified those zip codes under a declaration of a public health emergency, measles, and they said, well, these people, I don't know, $500 a day for every day that they don't prove they're vaccinated. And the thing is, the whole thing is just insane.
I know.
It's just insane, and it's got to stop. But I did see some of the planning documents, the think tank reports from pharma in cooperation with our legislators. And they've got a whole thing mapped out for how they're going to do this to create a situation where they've actually criminalized the state of being unvaccinated, no matter what your age is. So, you know, I mean, it's really interesting, the disparities here, because I go and I look in California, healthcare workers, people who work in hospitals, manage to exempt themselves from vaccine requirements so long as they wear a mask, right? So a lot of them just wear a mask. When they're in contact with patients, they put a mask on. Because apparently the state of being unvaccinated means that you're dripping with disease, even though you don't have any symptoms, right? It's nuts. And of course, we know the vaccinated people are actually the ones dripping with shedding disease.
Exactly.
So you've got healthcare workers, so far, have been able to exempt themselves from vaccination requirements, but not school children? Wow.
I know.
And you can bet your bottom dollar, because the healthcare workers in New York have the same exemptions. You can bet your bottom dollar the last group that will be forced vaccinated are doctors and nurses.
That's right.
Because they're covering their ass. The pediatricians have the lowest vaccination rate for their own children of any profession in the world.
That's right.
And the reason for that, they know. They see the damage they personally do.
That's right.
The executioners. So I think I want to get to back to the control group for a minute here. We want to have so many surveys in hand of entirely unvaccinated people that even if the opposition were able to justify forcing us to exclude some of them that came in.
We still have plenty. Yeah.
That we still have so many that it's really not going to affect our bottom line in terms of reliability factors and margins of error. So anyone that's listening to this, please understand this is the first true shot across the bow in this battle.
Yep.
Up until now, you know, there really hasn't been one. There really hasn't. Nobody has approached it from this angle. Nobody's tried to walk in there with evidence like what we've compiled already and are continuing to compile. I certainly don't expect this is going to be an easy battle, but you can help make it easier for us to win if you get us your health surveys. This is a billion times more valuable at this stage in the game than begging bribed politicians or trying to educate them, expecting them to vote differently than how their donor list tells them to vote.
Right.
Look up any politician and you know immediately how they're going to vote on vaccines by looking at their donor list.
Right.
100% of the time, that's the way it works. They obey the donor list. They do not care what the public thinks. They literally do not care how many children are maimed and murdered, so long as they keep their paymasters happy with their votes. We have no legislative branch to speak of. They believe that they exist exclusively to feed on us, to eat us alive, and they do not care what happens to us. They do nothing but lie.
Right.
So approaching that branch of government, as corrupt as it is, and believing that continuing to pour thousands of hours into reasoning with these monsters is going to help us. That those days are over. Not too long ago, who knows, it maybe was helpful, but from what I'm seeing right now, it has zero effect, at least here in California and places like New York. So it is imperative for people to understand that this is only going to be resolved in a court of law, that across the board. And so we want a federal court, because they will have jurisdiction over the entire country. A federal judge can sign a document, an order, and it will affect every state in the union. So that's why it's really imperative for people to support what we're doing. Thecontrolgroup.org is where you find the survey. And even if you're not unvaccinated or your children are not vaccinated, another thing we're doing right now is we're gonna start producing videos of our own that have just sort of a call out to potential fact witnesses. One of the things that I noticed was in the SB 277 and the SB 276 hearings here in California, when you looked at the public hearing comment, there were hundreds and hundreds of people, one after the other. They only let them say their name and their whether or not they support the bill. But everybody kept saying, I am the mother of a vaccine-injured child, or I am the father of a vaccine. And they would try and shut them up, but that would get out. Mm-hmm. And I want these people to contact the control group and sign up on a witness list. Because we want to have that jury hear as many of these stories as possible. Now, obviously, the vaccine-injured people in California are many. So, and that's the cheapest for everybody, for us to get them in as witnesses. But it would be nice to have some really extreme stories, like of a mother, say, that had two or three of her children that got vaccine-injured, and their lives are ruined. And now she only has one healthy kid. So that's 75% of her family destroyed by vaccines. What are the odds? One kid, another kid, another kid. And these side effects are rare. And then she's got that perfect shining example of health, but it's only in the child that didn't receive any vaccines. And so those are the kinds of fact witnesses I want to have in front of a jury. Yeah. To assure that we can stop this madness, to assure that our nation will have a fighting chance of survival, because it's not going to survive if we don't stop this and stop it soon.
That's right. Now, what's to say that the judge in the federal courts is not bought and paid for? How do we know we've got a fair judge?
Well, one thing I do know for certain is that many judges are very crooked. I mean, I do know that. So we're not off the hook there. Are you still coming in? Hello? Your image has frozen. Can you still hear me? Okay. So I discovered that judges are, many of them, their retirement programs are heavily invested in Big Pharma. So on that level, they are somewhat bought and paid for. However, this is not that big of a concern to me, because of the fact that any judge in his right mind, looking at the facts, looking at the evidence, is probably behind the scenes going to be moving his assets. You know, like, okay, the writing's on the wall. Whether I vote favorably or not favorably for this case, my retirement is gone because my career is gone because the nation will be gone. So if I rule unfavorably and we continue this madness with the vaccines, there's no country left. In really not that many years from now, no country left. So, it's hopefully we're going to have a judge that would rather see our country survive and rather continue to have a career on the bench with people to serve. This is so extreme in terms of the trajectory that we're on. I got another message that said to keep on talking. So what I saw was that the trajectory that we're on is really, really bad. We are looking at possibly 70% of our children documentably physically ill, cancers, you name it, just by next year. Hi, you're back. Are we on a three-way with the radio? So the trajectory that we're on as a nation, we don't have a future at all as a nation if we don't stop the vaccine programs. And initially, we need, right out of the gate, emergency stop. We've got to stop the mandates so that we can preserve entirely unvaccinated people for study. Because if someone's going to come in and argue that our study's no good, that's fine, but you didn't do a study. So, Judge, we need to stop the mandates so that they can do a study too.
That's right. Well, I lost internet when I asked you the question. I took a picture of your expression as it froze as I was losing my internet. Right. I'll send it to you, but okay. I didn't hear the answer. How do we control a federal judge not being paid by the powers that be or not being controlled by the powers that be? How do we get a clean judge for a federal court?
I think, well, since I answered it a certain way without you all, I'm going to answer it a different way that maybe is better than my first answer in terms of clarity. So a federal judge they are bribable, but it's really, really not that easy necessarily to hide the bribe, okay? If it's a direct bribe from pharma interests, it's going to show up. Judges are required to make financial disclosures. Now, most judges have retirement plans, and most of those retirement plans are heavily invested in big pharma. So on that level, they would have a conflict of interest. But where am I going to find a judge that doesn't have that conflict? Probably nowhere. And I need a judge, and I need a judge to be on our side here. So yeah. What we need to do is just go in there and lay it out. Look, you rule against us, your career's gone anyway because the nation's gone.
That's right.
So, you know, yeah, you may be heavily invested in pharma, but since you're on the inside because this got on your desk first and you've got the data, you're in a position to start divesting from pharma. You don't have to mention it to anyone. I mean, I'm not going to explain these things, obviously, but usually judges have a high enough IQ to figure these things out.
And there's a good chance they have an injured grandchild or child. Like, it would be great for Congressman Dan Burton to have been to be a judge. I mean, back in the early 90s, Congressman Dan Burton, who was the chairman of the Government Reform Committee, I mean, he was on fire exposing truth for his grand.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep going in response to that, even though I'm losing April again. So there is a growing number. It's the damage is so widespread now that there's literally no way to hide it. And it is literally affecting everyone. If a person doesn't actually have a vaccine injured kid of their own, their neighbor's kid was vaccine injured. More and more people are making the connection between the injuries and the vaccines. And so, yeah, it is reasonable to believe that we could very well end up with a judge who secretly got a real fixation on the vaccine industry and hopes that a case like ours will land on his desk so that he can do the right thing. We could get very lucky that way. If we don't get that lucky, I will wrap up the show in 3 minutes. But if we don't get that lucky, we are going to end up with a judge who's resistant, and then we work through the jury because they will end up being the final say on how much weight to give the evidence that's been presented to them. The judge will not be in a position to keep our evidence out, at least not the most important stuff that we know needs to get in. So the jury will see this evidence. If you want the court order to issue that stops all of these vaccine mandates nationwide, you need to do everything you can to help. Even if you're vaccinated or your children are vaccinated, go to thecontrolgroup.org. Go see what we're up to. Contact me. I do answer every email that comes through that website. So contact me personally, Joy, and ask how you can help. Another thing you can do to help is spread the word about this survey. Tell everyone you know so that they tell everyone they know, and get people getting us more and more surveys, because that is kind of a linchpin. It is probably the single most imperative piece of evidence that we can bring into court, because it's going to establish a true approximate risk factor associated with vaccinations, which nobody's taken the time to do yet. And we're the only ones that have actually done this on a broad scale. So I'm thinking I need to wrap up soon. Let me check. And yeah, I think it's coming soon. I don't know if I need to sign off just yet, but let me go ahead and say goodbye and thank everyone for listening. And thank you, Renee, for having me on the show. I'm sorry the Skype was not terribly reliable on your end. It might have been that brick wall you were near. Love you, and I love everyone out there. I love humanity. I want everyone to be okay. Controlgroup.org, folks.